Hello and welcome to another edition of Pittsburgh Pop. Tim Benz, Rob Owen with you here on Trib Live, your weekly slice of pop culture. You can read Rob in the Trib at Trib Live for TV Q&A, TV talk. You can check me out daily, Breakfast with Benz at Trib Live when it comes to all your sports reading needs. But we'll get to sports later on this conversation. Rob and I want to start with the new Star Wars series on Disney, Andor. And Rob, I saw all three of the first episodes that were released. I know you got an advanced sneak peek yourself. After the first two episodes, the only question I had was, what the hell am I watching? And then the third one felt a little bit more like, you know, a Star Wars series episode, I suppose. But what was your takeaway? I'll take your opinions, then give you some of mine.
Okay, so I got to see the first four, actually. And I thought the first two were super boring. And I was like, what are they doing? And then the third one, it started to get interesting. And then I was really digging it in the fourth episode, because the fourth episode, and if I have these wrong, like if this actually happened in the third episode, you can remind me. But I'm pretty sure the fourth episode is the one that introduces these Imperial characters, including a woman, and there's sort of like a bureaucratic fight between her and another Imperial. And I thought that was interesting because, one, I don't really remember seeing an Imperial female bureaucrat before in Star Wars, and we've certainly never seen them battling over turf, but I was like, that is something that you could see happening. So I really enjoyed that. I thought that was interesting. Again,
well, actually, we've seen both of those things at the very least separately, haven't we? Because didn't we see a fight between the two in The Mandalorian? And didn't we see, like, sort of, she was a bureaucrat that was a bounty hunter in Boba Fett, right?
I know who you're talking about. Reva is that
Reva? Yes,
but she's not a mid-level bureaucrat. She was an inquisitor.
Yes.
You know, this is mid-level female Imperial bureaucrat, which I don't remember seeing in Star Wars, certainly not in the context that we see in Andor.
Right.
So I found that really interesting. Mon Mothma is back in episode four, and I really like the character who I think you see a little of in episode two, but he comes more to the fore in episode three. Luthen, the Stellan Skarsgård character. We learn a lot more about him in episode four. He's kind of got this dual identity thing going on. He's working with the rebels and with Mon Mothma. So to me, episode four is where it got really interesting, in part because it was a little bit different from Star Wars, but it wasn't boring like I found the first two episodes of Andor to be. I was surprised. The reviews were a lot more positive than I expected, and more positive than I was, just because I thought those first two episodes were really kind of dull. Oh, another thing I loved in episode three, I believe, where in the flashbacks to Andor's youth, we see when he's rescued by the character played by British actress Fiona Shaw, who sort of becomes his mother figure. And we see her older in like episode two, but in episode three, this flashback, she's kind of this swashbuckling, scoundrelly hero type character. And again, I like that. I thought that was interesting, and Fiona Shaw is a terrific actress. So I was happy to see her doing something other than being an elderly, inert person as she was in the first two episodes.
I just didn't see at any point in my life that the professor from Good Will Hunting would be a Star Wars character. That blows my mind. And I don't know what that character's all about yet. You said there's more development there. Obviously, he's like a recruiter for the
rebels,
the resistance, right?
Yeah. And you will find out more about him. I hesitate to give too much away, but I think I assume he's going to become an integral part of this story going forward. Like I say, I really enjoyed the stuff that's coming in episode four. So if you were bored by the first two, I say stick around. I think it has the potential to get good, but we'll see.
since it's a prequel to a prequel to a prequel, the flashback stuff was a little much. Like, I don't know if we needed to go back to the native planet with all the blow darts and everything, you know, for the crash of the whatever it was, Star Cruiser or whatever, where he was a little canary kid. And we're talking about Cassian now. It's the origin story of Cassian. Like, you know, the initial appeal I thought of Rogue One, and for people who don't know the backstory on this, this is the backstory to how Rogue One came to be, correct?
Right. And so this season is set 5 years before the events of Rogue One. Season two, which begins filming in November and will be the final season. There are 12 episodes in season one, 12 episodes in season two. In season two, each batch of four episodes, I think, covers another year leading up to the events of Rogue One, so that by the end of season two of Andor, you are smack dab up against the start of Rogue One.
Got it. All right. Is there traction for more of these, Rob? I mean, is there just an endless pit of Star Wars spinoffs that we can do? What do you think?
I mean, whether we should do them or not, they're certainly going to be done, because that's what Disney is counting on to keep people subscribing to Disney Plus. I think they are smart that they have a plan for Andor, that it's two seasons and done. They ordered two seasons up front. I feel like Andor is more interesting to me than Obi-Wan Kenobi, at least in concept. You know, we'll see how the execution turns out. But, you know, I was intrigued by Obi-Wan Kenobi, but then I was kind of disappointed by how it didn't really line up that well, because I just don't believe Leia wouldn't have remembered Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I didn't like that part of it. I also, one thing about Andor that I like is that I, so far anyway, I don't miss the Force stuff.
No,
like I don't miss Force
the
being part of the Jedi stuff, being part of this.
Right. Right. No, I agree that I think that's an interesting different thing. Another thing I like about it is that they seem to be loosening the reins on the production design. I don't know if you noticed there were buildings made of brick, and that jumped out at me, because almost always the buildings in Star Wars are either metal or stucco. So to see buildings made of brick, I thought, oh, that's a small thing, but a different.
That'd be great. They can come shoot in the war streets near me sometime. That'd be fine.
There you go.
Be all about that. I also was really offended by the fact that one of the main characters, at least in the first three stories, I'm going to give away a spoiler here. He's not going to be in the fourth or any more beyond them, if you catch my drift. But Tim, who spells their name Tim with two M's? That's stupid. That lost me right away. I couldn't focus on anything else when that guy was on the screen, because I was, you know, on the treadmill. So I had the subtitles going.
The subtitles, yeah.
Tim with two M's. Stupid. Now that I can't follow. That I can't be down with.
Yeah, there's Rob's with two B's. I've seen that before, too.
All right, Rob, with one B, what'd you think of what you saw from the Steelers on Prime Video? I know you're not the world's biggest sports guy. Did you watch the Steelers-Browns game just from a television eye? Was that your goal?
Yeah. I was just curious to see, okay, we've got a Fire TV. Let's see, how does this game look, and how does it sound, and how does it feel watching it on Amazon? And to me, it looked good, and it sounded good, I think, because I recognize, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I recognize the voice of Al Michaels, correct?
Oh, Al Michaels has been doing play-by-play forever and has long been either Thursday night or Sunday night, usually Sunday night football. But yes, he is integral and well-woven into NFL play-by-play.
Yes, but I did not realize he was going to be part of Amazon's coverage, because, you know, we've read things, and I think you've seen some of the Apple baseball coverage, which has gotten not great reviews. So that's partly why I wanted to tune in. But hearing Al Michaels' voice is kind of soothing. It's like, oh, okay, this is what an NFL game should sound like on TV or on streaming. I thought.
Now, similarly, though, were you jarred by Kirk Herbstreit being the color analyst? Because a lot of football fans have been, since Kirk is so uniquely, previously anyway, uniquely associated with the college game.
I have no idea who that is. So, no,
he was the color guy. He was the other guy on the call.
That didn't bother me. Just hearing Al was, I found, super reassuring. And like when they went to at halftime, they had a news desk full of people, and I didn't really know who any of those people were, but I thought that all the production values were great. I thought like Amazon did the job they needed to do.
I think visually it's been fine. I think that they could probably weave in some more graphics and stats and some of the, NBC cameras that track the players, some of the more advanced technology that NBC, ESPN, Fox, and CBS have used. Maybe they're slow rolling that out until they get all their sea legs underneath them. I don't know, but the only thing that really, the two things that jar me a little bit is even having worked with Kirk in Columbus, I so associate him with college that it's still funny to me to have him calling NFL games on the regular. I guess he had done a one-off here or there before when they had two Monday night games and so forth. But I still feel like his wheelhouse is college. Not that he's not doing a good job. He is analyzing football is analyzing football. I just feel like the depth of what he offers to his commentary is so much deeper because of his history with college football. But I'll get over that, I think. And you mentioned the sound. There's one thing I've noticed in the first two Thursday night games on Prime, and I watched it on Channel 11. I wasn't streaming it. I was watching it on Channel 11. I streamed the first game between the Chiefs and the Chargers. The sound is a little hollow. I don't know if their field is as well mic'd or it's coming across as well as the other networks
Interesting.
do. Like the crowd and the effects mics to me aren't as hot and as prominent as they are in other broadcasts. That's just one observation that I've had.
You would notice that more than I would.
Also wanted to throw this at you, Rob, because you brought it up last week. I was intrigued by the show. I watched the first episode. I kind of liked it. I might go back for more. Sometimes stage sitcoms are a tough sell for me. I got through one season of Hacks. I thought it was decent. Reboot that we talked about last week. Not bad. There's something there. It's an intriguing plot line. The actors, the characters are intriguing to me, make me want to come back. That's one that didn't make me say, okay, I just wasted a half hour of my life and I'll never go back again.
Yeah, I really like the cast of Reboot. I mean, Judy Greer, Keegan-Michael Key, Rachel Bloom, Krista Marie Yu, who went to Carnegie Mellon. I wrote about that a couple weeks ago. Paul Reiser. It's a really good cast.
Johnny
Writer
Knoxville.
Johnny Knoxville. Okay, sure, Johnny Knoxville.
He's funny for the
He
character
is
that he
funny. He
plays.
is. He actually is well cast, I have to say. And it's written by Steve Levitan, who was the co-creator of Modern Family and Pittsburgh Set Back to You. I've seen, I think, four episodes now, and I wish it were a little funnier. And one of the things that I feel like that Rachel Bloom's character, she's the indie film auteur who's bringing back this terrible 90s sitcom called Step Right Up. And she says she wants to twist it so that, remember in the old show, everybody did the right thing? I want everybody to do the wrong thing. And through the first four episodes, if we see anyone do the wrong thing in the show within the show, it then gets undone by the end of it. So I don't, and I obviously part of the story is how her vision gets kind of corrupted in future episodes. But I hope we get back to seeing at some point her vision for the reboot of the sitcom within the show.
Would you say is from Pittsburgh? Is it Zach, the kid that plays the
No,
child actor?
but he's very funny. Krista Marie Yu isn't from Pittsburgh, but she went to Carnegie Mellon. She's the Hulu executive
Oh, okay. All right.
assigned to the show.
All right. Well, I don't think I've. Oh, no, I have seen her. She was in the.
She's in it, but she's in it more in later
Okay.
episodes.
Yeah. She's very briefly then in the first episode, right? Okay. Gotcha. How about a couple other new series, Rob? Let's get to some of those. What are your thoughts? A couple of CBS shows. Ghosts season two, that was pretty well received in season one, and So Help Me Todd.
Yeah, so Help Me Todd, cute title, but terrible show. It's a legal, light legal drama about a mother lawyer played by Marcia Gay Harden and her kind of wayward, directionless son played by Skylar Astin from the Pitch Perfect movies, I think. And he ends up working for her as an investigator. So, you've got your investigation. So it's a story of the week there and their extended family. It just isn't that funny. The legal stuff is often wrong. It feels to me like another soft CBS show that's going to come and go very quickly. So I would not invest in So Help Me Todd. Ghosts, however, continues to be a lot of fun and charming in its second season. Thursday night, the second season premiere airs. It picks up from what happened in the season finale, where Sam and Jay, who are turning this old manor into a B&B, fall through the floor when their first B&B guests arrive. Sam is the wife. She can see the ghost. Jay is the husband. He can't see the ghost. So in the season premiere, the floor by the front door has been fixed where they fell through, and they are welcoming in their actual first guests to stay in the B&B, and mayhem, of course, ensues. But that show feels like it's found itself. It's continuing to do what it's done before, and it's still funny. I think I've seen the first two of the new season there.
And one more, is it Rookie Feds? Is that it from ABC?
Yes, it's a spin-off of The Rookie. This time it stars Niecy Nash. Her character was introduced in an episode of The Rookie last season, sort of as a planted pilot. And instead of being a rookie for the LAPD, which is the story of The Rookie, she is a rookie FBI agent. And I think Niecy Nash is fantastic. She's a really good actress, whether she's in Reno 911 doing ridiculous comedy, or she's getting rave reviews for Dahmer, which is not getting good reviews, but the new Jeffrey Dahmer show, starring Evan Peters from producer Ryan Murphy on Netflix. She's getting good reviews for her performance in that. I just find her to be an extremely likable presence on your television, and they clearly have tailored this role to suit her personality and skill set. And I think if you like Niecy Nash, if you like The Rookie, you'll probably like Rookie Feds. Is it something I'm going to watch every week? No, but there's an audience out there for it for sure.
All right, Rob, what do we have coming up in TV Q&A and TV talk? Did you get lots of angry emails about how to find the Steelers game Thursday night? People that couldn't, or were they able to find it on PXI or on Amazon? And more importantly, what about the angry people that didn't get to see Law and Order live?
The only angry email I got no angry emails about the Steelers. So I feel like putting it in my column multiple times helped there. The only angry email I got was somebody saying claiming that they wouldn't be able to watch Law and Order because MeTV isn't on cable. But I assured her that no, you can watch Law and Order and see WTAE reporter Sheldon Ingram in his big acting big debut as
How
the
was he?
deputy chief. He was good. He was
Yeah.
he did he acquitted himself quite well. I finally caught up on it over the weekend and I watched his scenes and he was well cast because he's a big guy. He can make himself kind of an imposing presence if he needs to. And he's kind of coming in trying to boss around the team. And of course, almost gets into a fight with Chris Maloney. But I thought Sheldon did a great job. So I'm just happy for him because it seems like this is something he's really passionate about doing. And I hope TAE will continue to allow him to do it on the side because he's pretty good at it.
All right, what else we got this week?
Let's see, question in TV Q&A about a missing FBI episode that was pulled by CBS last spring. Will it ever air? And then in TV talk, a trio of vampire shows coming out in the next couple of weeks, including AMC's Interview with the Vampire.
Interesting. We should have a race between Star Wars spinoffs and vampire shows.
It will be close. It'll be close.
All right, that'll do it for this week. Make sure you read Breakfast with Ben's every day. I'll have a wrap up Mike Tomlin's press conference on Wednesday after the coach of the Steelers takes the microphone on Tuesday. Lots of preview in advance of the Jets game coming up on Sunday. And check out our podcast page as well. And Rob and I will be back for more of Pittsburgh Pop next week here on Trib Live.